Vince Colonnaise with Mary Walter.
And joining us right now is Jeannie Mancini. She's the president, March for Life Education and Defense Fund. They've got a big march today. Jeannie, thank you for taking the time out to join us this morning.
Thanks for covering the March for Life.
Absolutely, and I'm sure you have a very, very busy and exciting day today. One of the big exciting things for this march is that the president will be the first sitting U.S. president to address the event via satellite. From what I understand, some have addressed the event via phone in the past. How does that process happen? Did the president come to you and say he would like to do this, or do you always approach each president and ask if they would like to be part of it?
Historically, well, when there is a pro-life administration, historically we extend invitations to the White House more broadly, and then in the case of this year, they made decisions on how they thought that could best work out. And it's going to be beautiful. I mean, essentially, what's going to happen is that there's a Rose Garden reception, and, you know, kind of picture New Year's Eve, so to speak, where you've got, you know, one host on the West Coast and one host in New York City. And so we'll have the main rally site, and then at the Rose Garden, less than a mile away from the main rally site. And by the way, the main rally site is at 12th Street on the Mall. And so in the Rose Garden, there will be young people that are marchers that have, we've got our two groups that are leading the march that will be there, and a few other young groups that have been very active in the March for Life over the years. And we'll hear a little bit from the vice president and a little bit from the president. We're really much looking forward to that.
I imagine you're obviously very encouraged and probably were very excited to find out the news that the president would be speaking and addressing the March for Life. I am curious, though, why is it, though, that they're doing it remotely and not having him do something in person?
Well, you know, last year it was a historic moment to have the vice president speak directly to the marchers. You can imagine the security requirements when the president of the United States Yep. attends. And we are a modest nonprofit organization, really run on a shoestring budget. And it's very expensive to pay for the security costs. So when you invite a major VIP to come and speak, you have to cover all of the costs of the magnometers and all the different machines and everything, and it's quite costly. So for security reasons, we thought this was the better thing.
Oh, I see. So this was a considered approach from your standpoint, which is to say that you guys considered it and said, look, we just don't have the funding to support the president doing this in person, so let's do it via video.
Well, you know, no, there's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes and many different things that are taken into consideration, but Secret Service ultimately makes a decision on these kinds of things.
Right. Okay. All right. Interesting. Always love to know how this all ends up happening.
You'd be amazed. I mean, before I ever ran the March for Life, I never would have understood all of the details. Like, we meet with the National Park Service so much, and even, like, when a little, you know, something comes up, for example, at a march across the country, we let four jurisdictions of police know, and they are on it immediately. It is such an event with so many people and so much security behind it. It's pretty remarkable, all the different things that happen.
You know, also happening around this time, the one-year anniversary of that Women's March. And I'm curious kind of whether or not you consider the March for Life in any way sort of the antidote to the liberal, feminist kind of Women's March that takes place.
No, I mean, you've got to consider, of course, we're 45 years strong here, we're the largest human rights demonstration that happens annually around the world. And so it was very interesting to see, you know, that march last year. And it was so sad that pro-lifers were excluded from it. But, you know, there's an enormous difference between the two, both in terms of longevity, but perhaps more importantly, the issues that we're fighting for. We're there for the most single human rights abuse of today, and we've lost 60 million Americans to abortion. The marchers at the March for Life are primarily young people. We're a peaceful protest. It's an anti-violent protest. You'll never hear marchers talk about blowing up anything, much less the White House or anyone's house. You know, and there were threats like that from the stage last year at the Women's March. So they're very, very different. And I think just the longevity of ours and, you know, the historicity and what have you, there's no comparison.
I want to also ask you about, you know, this Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which passed the House last year, sponsored by Trent Franks. Now it's headed for potentially a Senate vote this month, we're seeing. I don't know if you know any more about the timing. I heard something as early as Monday. But how important is it, do you think, that the Senate actually pass a 20-week abortion ban?
It's enormously important, and I'm really saddened that it doesn't sound as though it's going to pass. And here's why. You know, 8 out of 10 Americans for 10 years in a row would limit abortion more than it's limited in our country right now. They would limit it at most to the first 3 months of pregnancy. And that pain-capable bill has broader leanings than that. So in other words, it would limit it less than that. So I think it would add on like 5 or 6 weeks to the first 3 months of pregnancy. So this is a popular bipartisan policy. And it's so sad to me that our Senate can't just get this passed. And the president has promised that he would enact it into law if it were passed at the House and the Senate. And so to me, it's just a no-brainer. I don't really understand why this has become so political.
All right, we have about 30 seconds left here. So what time does the march start? And give us just a quick rundown of who else is going to be speaking.
Great. So check us out at marchforlife.org for all of the different information and download our app. We've got music heading into the actual rally itself, which begins at noon. The music starts at 11:30, and then the rally goes from noon to 1. We're right at 12th Street on the National Mall, and then we march up Constitution Avenue. We've got a few other headliners, including the Speaker of the House.
Right.
Really delighted to have Paul Ryan. And then we've got Pam Tebow, mother of Tim Tebow, Matt and Adrienne Burke, former NFL player,
yep.
And just an incredible lineup of people.
Gene Mancini, wonderful. President of March for Life. Good luck today as you get out there on the streets of Washington, D.C.
Thanks for covering it.
Sure thing.